The Muse podcast would like to offer our deepest condolences to the family, friends and AFL community due to the recent passing of Shane Tuck. We urge anybody who requires crisis support to contact Lifeline at lifeline.org.au or on 13 11 14 or Beyond Blue at beyondblue.org.au or 1300 22 4636. A problem shared is a problem halved. Even if you want to slide into our DMs, we're always up for a chat.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Benny, another week rolls around and we're getting stuck into the Magoos again. We've got probably our biggest show of the year, I think, some huge names to follow us. So we won't waste too much time talking about what's important to us in the footy world because we've got two big, big names joining the Magoos family is Mitch Hannon, the Melbourne forward, who is in some fantastic nick and propelling his side up the ladder, and our mate Dylan Buckley also joining the show a little bit later to chat all things GWS, and we might try and sneak a little bit of Carlton in there because things are okay. But hey, didn't we crash back down to earth on the weekend, Benny?
Yeah, you say we mobs, collectively, don't you? Yes, both of us.
Well, I mean, we both fell out of the eight. It was glorious for a while. We were talking about the last time that both teams were playing finals and all this, and then we're now 10th and 11th, and I know you've got the game in hand, which I'm sure you'll remind everybody of, but you probably would have rather played Melbourne at the time because they've sort of they've given themselves a little bit of a boost and are quickly climbing the ladder and probably have both our teams set in their sights to jump on.
We tend to just, I think our problem on this show, Jake, is we're more of an early crower than the best of them. We're talking about, well, your tip at the start for Port Adelaide is still looking mighty fine. Although Gold Coast are back in there, so shout out to my boys. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I sort of actually had this theory, right? So I'm in an inbox with a group of mates who love our footy, and we're footy's the only thing that was sort of, you know, keeping us all sane, all the games that are on. I came up with this theory that so we're all in the same tipping competition and we all talk footy nonstop to each other. I believe we've all swayed each other into the same tips almost, because the person who's first and the person who's last, there's about 3 or 4 points between them. So I just sort of think, like, the more, like, where I'm getting with this is the more you're invested, I think, into the media of football at the moment, the worse it is, because we say it's a shortened season and stuff like that, and teams better get a wriggle on and that sort of thing. It's only been 7 games. There's still 10 left. That's pretty. I think that's still a long time. So rewind last week.
Well, it's longer than what we've had, so.
Well, rewind to last week.
There's more to come than what we've played here.
Yeah. If we rewind to last week, it's okay. The whole media were, if Essendon beat the Dogs this week, they go to second on the ladder, that sort of thing. If Carlton win on the weekend, they go to blah, blah, blah. What no one was speaking about was the fact that if Essendon lose that game and just a couple of teams around them win their game, they actually slide down to 10th. So we had I think it was Cam Luke from Armchair Experts saying that with Joey Danaher back, Essendon could win the whole thing. And you've got Robbo and you've got all these other experts and all these opinionated people with obviously nothing to talk about saying how good is this team, how good is that team. And then one loss and it's just like, oh, okay, actually maybe they're not that good. I just think, like, I would like to see if you – I would like to do an experiment where I watched a month's worth of football from the next month and didn't follow any of the socials or any of the articles or anything like that. Obviously, I'm on a podcast with you, so I'll get some news from it. But I wonder what my –
it's going to be me talking to myself.
I wonder what my opinion on football would be after – even during those games, because we can talk about commentary as well. During those games, even if you listen to that on mute perhaps – and just listen to something else in the background, what your opinion on the state of the game, state of the umpiring, everything like that would be if you just didn't have all this noise in the background. Just so much noise, Jake.
It is noise, and it's well put. And I guess, you know, we sort of, in our own ways, like add to the noise because there are a group of people who choose to make us their footy show. So we sort of have to, you know, take the good with the bad, because in this day and age, everybody has an opinion. Everybody wants to be sharing their opinion, and and it's easier than ever to do so. But like when it comes from, I guess, you know, people needing to fill content. But I think that what will happen over the next, you know, they're thinking about, or they're, you know, going to be playing 33 games in 19 days, fitting four rounds into 3 weeks. So if there's footy on every night, there won't be the shows on every night. There won't, it'll be game analysis, and it will be, you know, like the pre-game and the post-game. And, yes, there'll be some room for news because there'll be injuries and there'll be other things. There'll be changes to hubs and fixtures and all those sorts of things. But there won't be the 4 or 5 days between games. There won't even be one. So, you know, what happens on the Saturday will be so quickly forgotten, and they just won't have time to review it. Obviously, we'll find a little bit of time, so it might boost us up with a bit of luck. But yeah, you're definitely right in that week by week thing. And I mean, if Hawthorn had a one on the weekend, they didn't. Melbourne pants them. But you know, there were so many teams who were 3-3 last week, yet all the fortunes were different. As we speak about, like, the Giants were 3-3. The Carlton were 3-3. Hawthorn were 3-3. You know, like, all these teams were stuck in the same gap, but they all had different narratives because of where externally people thought they would be, or or how they played the week before. But you know, things change so quickly in AFL footy, and people just seem to think that everyone just forgets what they said a week before, and then, like, this is a fresh opinion. But then if teams do lose a few on the bounce, like Hawthorn and North Melbourne are doing, they just chip deeper. They go deeper and they go deeper, and now all of a sudden we're trading Ben Brown. And, you know,
trading,
like,
Ben Brown,
trying to move on the best coach of the modern era potentially, and all these sort of things. So there is they're always going to dig, and they're always going to fight because they have to, because, you know, I guess their livelihoods depend on it.
Yeah, and furthermore to that, I mean, we still talk about how, you know, Collingwood and Richmond, these guys haven't found their strides yet. They're sitting third and fourth on the ladder, Jake. Like, it's an upside-down season. I love how close it is, but I just wish the absolutes from media weren't so absolute. It was more just, you know, more question marks and not going hard on those sort of teams. But your boys, I know we say this a lot, and it's hard coming from an Essendon supporter again, but despite the loss, and it was a heartbreaking loss, I'm guessing. There's something different, though. There's something different from this is obviously, my opinion might be different to yours, but there's something different about that one. It was not just the top of the ladder team, but the form that you guys are in. And not just the form, but you can just see fundamental things have changed down at Carlton. And look, what was worse than Essendon getting absolute pants by the Doggies was seeing that Carlton are actually looking pretty dangerous at times.
I think I've always been optimistic about Carlton in that they will get there, and they'll get there, and that they're growing. And, you know, there's been some speed bumps on the way in that school of thought and keeping the faith, but I think what I've seen, particularly over the last 2 weeks, and hopefully St Kilda was just a bad night before that, so over most of this season, has been a team that has genuinely improved and can beat good teams. You know, I mean, Port Adelaide, in the last 5 to 10 minutes on the weekend, Port Adelaide had that many chances to win the game, probably could have won it by a couple of goals, but they didn't, and that's how footy works. Mm-hmm. So we all know how it ended. But, yeah, to have the slow start of being 3 goals down the blink of an eye and then to be in front at quarter time, shows to me a group that is developing quickly and is maturing quickly. And but the proof in being a good side is doing it for a long period of time. And the thing is now is that Carlton play North Melbourne this week. So given current form lines, Carlton should beat North Melbourne comfortably. And I think that's when you sort of start to get to that, like, you know, we don't really trust them sort of thing, and they can push themselves up towards becoming a better side by beating North Melbourne and by beating them comfortably and having the game on their own terms for the majority of the time. So, and that's you know, like, we talk about how tight it is in the middle. That's what's going to separate the teams that play finals. Carlton have lost now 3 games by under a goal. Is that right? Three.
Is it three or are you 2-2? Two wins and two losses in very tight ones.
It might be 2-2.
Either way, you're playing a lot of close games, but you're winning a lot of them too. So that's changing. That's I mean, you talk about playing North, and you say rightfully so that, like, realistically you should play on your terms, and pretty much you should bury North. And that's something Essendon have struggled with for a long time, is we've never, I can't remember the last time we buried a team, especially a team that we should. And nothing makes me more nervous, Jake, than playing the winless Crows this weekend at Adelaide Oval. So going from our hub back over to South Australia, and we're playing Adelaide, where we'll be hot favourites in terms of sports betting. But if you ask any Essendon supporter, Jake, they're all going to be very, very nervous this weekend, let me tell you, because I know Richo said it in our last win that he said, geez, Essendon supporters know what they're going to get these days. They're going to get this consistency, blah, 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 because we played two games in a row. That was good. And I was like, Richo, that is not true in the slightest, because every week I'm shitting myself, to be honest, because I don't know what we're going to dish up. And this week included, I think we're the number one team, Jake, in the last 20 years. I believe it was 20 years, they said, that have lost to the bottom team. So we've lost the most games to the bottom team out of anyone in the AFL in the last 20 years.
It's a tough way to live, isn't it? but mate, Adelaide are bad.
I know.
I know they were better against St Kilda, but maybe, like, I've also now got, like, every week that goes by, I'm more spewing Carlton lost to St Kilda especially because they'll have to play the rest of the season away from Etihad, from Marvel Stadium. So, like, they're going to lose more games than they win comfortably, I think.
Yep.
And look, Adelaide, a good side probably would have beaten St Kilda, and we know Adelaide aren't a good side, but even Adelaide had enough chances to beat St Kilda, and Essendon won't lose to Adelaide, Ben. I am a knocker of Essendon, and we know how I feel about the Bombers and how good it is to beat them and all those fun things, but they won't lose to Adelaide. They just won't. Essendon are, you know, Essendon probably still will always, it seems like they'll always face those consistency issues of beat who you shouldn't and lose to who you shouldn't as well. That makes a bit of sense. But, yeah, I think that the way Adelaide are going at the moment, it's one of those ones where it's like, yes, they'll probably have one win for the year, Adelaide. They'll probably beat someone, and because they'll play a lot of games at home now.
It'll be Essendon this weekend.
And those sort of things. And they'll, I mean, I can't see it happening yet, but, oh, my God.
No, we'll have to play some awful football, but we tend to come down to the level that our opposition are at. And that's no offence to you boys when we played you a couple of weeks ago, but We do. We play to the ability of our opposition, and it's very frustrating. I'm hoping things change. We're probably talking too much about the Bombers and Carlton once again. All credit to the Doggies, by the way. I mean, Luke Beveridge has had us covered for 5.5 years now, and convincingly as well. When I saw the last five...
Yeah, they pants you, didn't they?
When I saw the average of the last five games before that night, I'm like, nah, something has to turn. Even if we lose, it's got to be tight. And it wasn't. They did it again, 6 wins in a row by an average of about 50 points, and it's just incredible. But we've got obviously a huge show to get into, but...
Massive. No one wants to hear us talk about our own team's problems.
I'm looking at the matches coming up. This is a great round of footy, if you ask me. We've got Port versus St Kilda, which I think would be a ripping game. Brisbane versus the D's, because the D's have turned a corner. We'll talk to Mitch Hannon about that soon. Collingwood, West Coast. West Coast are 3 on the trot now as well, and Collingwood have won a couple. So, we've got heaps going on, I reckon. It's a good round. And then a couple of the not-so-great teams are playing each other too. So that sort of rounds it out. But I won't go into those teams in case you go for one of them.
We didn't mention either of our teams in that either. But, yeah, like as you said, there is still 10 games to go, but, you know, the funnel will start to you'll start to run out of time very quickly. So teams have got to get a move on, and probably no more than GWS, who take on Richmond at Giants Stadium this Friday night too, which we'll have a little bit of a look at with Dylan Buckley. But, Ben, I reckon it's enough of us. We've got two huge special guests on the show. Let's jump in and chat to Mitch Hannon.
Just before we do.
Oh.
Yeah, I came across something on Twitter earlier today, Jake, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. It was a tweet, and I'll just quote it, saying, "No one is loving the crowds being back more than the umpires. Me, me, me."
Correct. Who tweeted that?
I believe you tweeted that, Jake. You don't.
Yeah, I was watching the Adelaide St Kilda game last night. I thought it was pretty poorly officiated.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And they rang St Kilda and apologised.
Did they really?
Hayden Kennedy, the head of the umpires, yes, rang Brett Ratton, good Carlton man, and apologised. So that tweet was correct.
Oh. They should never do that. They should never apologise.
Because they'll spend their whole lives apologising.
Exactly right. Shall we get into the Mitch Hannon chat?
Let's do it.
The Magoos.
Benny, a very exciting guest on the Magoos now. We've gotten some of our ramblings out of the way and we can focus on the main event of the show this week. Mitch Hannon from the Melbourne Footy Club, the Inform Demon, joins us. Mitch, welcome to the Magoos.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
It's good to be here.
Absolutely our honour. So, as we know, the AFL season has been thrown around all over the place at the moment. Where do we find you now and how is Hub Life treating you at the moment?
I'm currently on the Sunshine Coast. They've dumped us in a place called Twin Waters, which is sort of just north of Maroochydore. And it's actually a lovely part of the world. Just obviously a lot warmer than Victoria, so I'm not complaining. But we've just come from Manly, so we were in North Sydney for the first 2 weeks. So for a lot of people, there's people out there that are probably more so acclimatised to being at home. But for me, I'm just sort of seeing it as one big holiday, so I'm pretty happy with it at the moment.
Beautiful. It's much better than being stuck down here, that's for sure, in Melbourne. So you mentioned, gone from Manly to Maroochydore already. Can you give us a little bit of insight to the Hub Life? So, you know, out of all the hubs getting around at the moment, you've got, you know, from the Perth hub to the Gold Coast hub. If you could choose one, what hub would it be and why would it be Pornhub?
To be honest, we were supposed to go to Gold Coast and I was very glad we got shifted out of there because I just honestly couldn't think of a worse place to be stuck than in the complete jungle that reminds me of schoolies. But to be honest, I think if I had my choice, I'd be back down in Sydney. I loved it there. There's a lot more going on. There's cafes, there's lovely beaches, beautiful weather. But then again, being up here in Queensland, I'm not too disheartened either. Perth, that's probably a different story. 4 hours across the country. So I much prefer to stay on the East Coast. So I just think just because of some of the people, obviously not in lockdown in Sydney or Queensland, people around, people swimming, things to do, I think we've got it pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we like to sort of go back into the vault a little bit and have a little bit of a look about where your footballing journey started. Didn't get picked up as traditionally through the draft as a lot of 18, 19-year-olds sort of do. So you go from playing VAFA in 2015 and then by the end of 2016 you find yourself on an AFL list. Is that right?
That is right. It all happened very quickly.
What was it like stepping into that system after playing local footy?
To be honest, it wasn't too much of a jump. I dabbled in some sort of higher levels of footy coming up out of my juniors before. And so just to give you a bit of a background, I tried out for the Calder Cannons as an under 18-year-old, which was my TAC Cup league, and wasn't to be at the time. I was just a little 5'8", scrawny-headed blonde kid that wasn't quite sizey enough to make it. And then in the following years, managed to do pre-seasons with Coburg, Essendon and Footscray in the VFL. Without much luck with Coburg and Essendon. So I'd sort of had some sort of experience with VFL programs and the semi-professional life. So by the time that opportunity came around to join Melbourne, I'd already been with Footscray for a couple of years and I sort of knew a little bit about what was going on. So I was definitely very happy to be there.
Beautiful. You mentioned obviously VAFA straight into VFL. Back-to-back flags. You have St. Bernard's, I believe, in 2015 into the Footscray in 2016 and the double as well. So you had Footscray in the twos and obviously the Doggies in 16 as well. What was that sort of experience like just around the club? Was it just an absolute vibe at that time?
Yeah, that was massive. So the St. Burns one was great, obviously. I'd been with St. Burns for 4 years and they've always sort of in the last 15 years sort of floated in between Premier B and Premier A, and we managed to have some success, which was awesome to be a part of. But the following year, the Footscray Premiership, where we had success pretty much all round. They won the AFL flag, which was massive for the club. But to have the VFL, and I think even though it was a bit of a non-event at the time, I think they only had played two games to win it. The AFLW team won the flag as well, the Bulldogs. So we had all three sort of have some success that year. So, yeah, that was probably for a club, that's as high as it gets, having that sort of success around the building. So definitely a good time to be part of.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a question coming off the socials from Julian, just touching on that success. He is a big D supporter by the sounds of it. He wants to know how much credit you take for the club's success in 2018 for the Ds, because given you were sidelined for most of 2019, it dropped off a little bit there. So do you take much credit for that?
I definitely don't, to be honest. I was in my second year of footy and I was still trying to find my feet. I think I even that year was sort of in and out of the side a couple of times with some form. So I think I managed to just sort of find myself at the right place in the right time to be able to be a part of that final series and obviously chip in occasionally with some good performances. But I'm definitely not going to be taking that as saying that I was the took that sort of final success. That was definitely not on me. It's,
the humble root.
Far too modest. So fast forward to 2020 now. The Demons are sort of got their season back on track for now. Playing some pretty good footy, both as a team and individually. You must be pretty happy with how it all sits at the moment.
I am. Yeah. It obviously was quite a rough year last year, just for me personally and also for the team. I battled away with quite a lot of injury. With a knee and a groin that just wasn't allowing me to really get out in the park too much. So to be able to sort of find myself this year, not only fully fit, but back playing, I couldn't be happier with. So it's an odd, as we all sort of know, it's an odd year to be a part of. But I think we're sort of reasonably well placed at the moment, the Ds, in terms of we struggled with a little bit of form early, but we're sort of starting to find our feet, find a bit of form and momentum. And I think there should be some positive things to come.
Absolutely. I actually watched the game on the weekend. You guys were electric, to say the least. Essendon supporter as well, coming from me. So I think like there's definitely shades of you guys getting back to where you were just a couple of seasons ago. Do you feel like, I know it's only been a couple of weeks, but do you feel there is that sort of, I don't know, you boys getting a little bit up and about, not to get ahead of yourselves, obviously, but do you feel there is that sort of things are starting to click that little bit?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think there was definitely the weight of expectations coming off the back of that 2018 season to sort of produce it in 2019. But if we sort of look back and reflect on it, I think we finished that season only sort of just scraping into the eight and then managed to play some of our best footy in those finals, which is not always an accurate representation of where the club's at. So we still had a lot of sort of growth and development to sort of do. And I feel like with some added additions this year with two new wingmen and some other guys coming into the fold, I think we're sort of starting to build towards a more successful team. So I reckon, even though off the back of a poor year last year and a bit of hype the year before, I think we'll be in a pretty good place come finals times this year.
We sort of touched on how 2020 is a little bit different. It might sort of end up being war of attrition and sort of survival of the fittest, I guess. How have you seen the guys sort of react to all the changes that 2020's thrown at them? And then what sort of challenges have arisen within the hubs? You know, you sort of said that things are pretty good for you and you're pretty comfortable to be moving around, but I'm sure that there's some guys in there who have got, have had some challenges along the way.
Yeah, definitely. We've sort of got a theme with our sort of playing group this year, which is sort of like called riding the bull. And essentially this was even before COVID was a thing and it couldn't have been any more fitting. Essentially, we sort of want to just be able to like tackle what comes at us, and this year's just exemplifies that truly, because we've pretty much just got to roll with the punches, got to take it for what it is. About 2 months ago, we were sort of quite happily in Melbourne, thinking that like the season was going to progress as normal, and now we find ourselves up in the northern states. So there's lots of people battling away with missing some family members, the comforts of their own home, some pets. Their own mental health being away from what is normal. And then there's lots of challenges that come with, but there's also lots of positives. A change of environment can often bring a team together and sort of give us a new lease on life. So we're trying to sort of take the good with the bad at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I hear on there's whispers that you guys are pretty keen on change room cricket. So has that sort of blown up a bit more since being in the hub, or has that sort of, you know, been put aside at the moment?
It's probably been put aside, to be honest, and I'm a bit flat about it because I was I was one of the key members in there. I was there.
Yeah, we hear that. Yeah.
where are you getting this inside knowledge from?
just Nuffy D supporters, basically.
The change room cricket, especially when we were back at Amy Park, used to get flogging. We loved it. We've got some good cricketers in there. Sam Wiedemann sort of leads the charge with the bowlers, as well as Adam Tomlinson, and we've got some good batsmen as well. So, like, it's always a bit of fun. It's just a bit hard at the moment. We might have to convert it to beach cricket, I reckon, to keep it alive.
Away from footy, one of your passions is men's mental health, and as a lot of people probably know, and hopefully a few more after this, you co-founded the social enterprise Mendel, which you're obviously wearing the kit for there. I guess if you're listening to this as an audio podcast, probably doesn't help. But can you talk us through the motivations around Mendel and what it is that Mendel does?
Sure. So Mendel stemmed off the back of my own sort of personal experiences with my mental health a couple of years ago. I sort of went through a period of my life where I was battling with some anxiety that was foreign to me and struggled to sort of cope with. And off the back of those experiences, I sort of wanted to, obviously finding myself in a better place, wanted to sort of create something where I could kind of give back, but also just recognise the group of young men of similar age and demographic to myself that may be struggling to sort of voice some of these problems or troubles or thoughts they might be going through. So I've also been interested in fashion. So I wanted to sort of like combine the two together and kind of create a brand, which something that people resonate with purely because they think it looks good, but also has got this sort of hidden message behind it around sort of mateship and support towards one's mental health. So we're trying to link the two together. Raise the funds for different charities already doing good work in this space, but our main objective is to sort of create some conversations amongst those who might not otherwise be doing so.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah,
definitely recommend that everyone out there in the Magoos community goes and checks out Mendel. There's some really cool kits out there.
Jake's even got sporting a shirt at the moment as well.
He's
got off as well, or?
Got the show. Absolutely not. It's all going to non-for-profits, Ben. Good, you don't need discounts when it's going and supporting those good things. We've obviously had some really good support from some of the Melbourne boys in there. What does it mean to sort of have those mates around you that are willing to, you know, sort of help prop this up and, you know, help it grow some legs and then further those conversations?
That's right. For me, the conversations with some of my mates was the hardest part during this time of my ill mental health. So to be able to have the support of not only my group of mates who I grew up with and went to high school with, but also some of my current team members is amazing to sort of see. And I'm very thankful for. They've been a big support of not only sort of what I'm voicing, what I went through, but also the brand and what it sort of stands for. So I thankfully had people like Max Scorn, Christian Petraka, Neville Jetta, and a few other boys do a bit of a mixture of sort of spruiking it for me on social media, but also dragged a few of them along to some photo shoots against their will. So now they've been very happy to help out and supportive of the brand.
That's awesome. No, absolutely love the initiative. I reckon it's great. So good on you. Keep rolling with it. Love it.
Thanks, Ben.
No worries. Just more on a bit of a lighter side, we did put it out to the socials, just to anyone who wanted to ask questions, mainly D supporters, because they're all coming out of the woodworks apparently in the last couple of weeks. we had one great question come in saying, pretty much asked, how many times have you personally watched your goal in the grand final against the Cats? In the final, in 2018. In particular, the Titanic remix version.
Oh, I get this question a lot. to be honest, I reckon, I might as well be honest, I've watched it probably over about 50 times, but it probably stems off the back of it being sent to me about 50 times, being like, hey, have you seen this?
We'll have to give it another plug, I reckon, on our socials then now.
Don't worry. Anytime Jake sends the podcast to me, I'll open it and give it that play as well. So we're bumping those numbers up too.
You got to love your own work. We had a question from a young Magoos listener, a junior footballer by the name of Ollie, who wanted to know who your most intimidating opponent has been over the journey.
In my first year, I came in as a mature age recruit, so I was already a bit older. But about maybe 10 games in, they decided to sort of toy with the idea of playing me in the midfield. And I was definitely not midfield built. And I found myself for about two quarters running along Nat Fyfe. And that was probably two of the hardest quarters of my life, especially him in 2017. He's a beast.
Yeah, absolutely. There wouldn't be
any
tougher than Nat Fyfe. He's got all of it. I actually did my own research a little earlier today, which usually goes against the show because Jake doesn't like it when I do my own research usually, which was quite thorough. I looked back into the deep archives of your Instagram, which is good. Chuck him a follow. Is it Mitch Han _ I think. Found quite a few years ago, there was a number of photos you were doing a bit of snowboarding. So I knew that was a prerequisite into being a Melbourne supporter, but I didn't know it was a prerequisite into being a Melbourne player as well.
Yeah, look, I'm probably bucking the trend, if anything. They're normally skiers, the Melbourne supporter group. But to be honest, it wasn't a big hobby of mine pre-footballing days. And unfortunately, I've sort of given it a miss for the last sort of 3 or 4 years just to sort of prevent for myself from any unnecessary injuries. But
yeah,
I would love to get back up the snow eventually. And I'm trying to replicate it actually now. I'm sort of locked in, obviously, at this hub for the next 8 to 12 weeks. So I've just recently bought a surfboard. I'll give that a run for the time I'm up here.
Beautiful, beautiful. We had Lockie Gibb, another fan of the D's, on the socials.
A massive Mitch Cannon fan. Can I just say, Lockie, a long, long time.
And we had to cut his 8 questions down to 2. The first part was, firstly, wants to know if you'll sign his Mitch Cannon badge.
Of course we can.
Of course. If you want to send that one in, Lockie. And secondly, more importantly, wants to know if you got altitude sickness from your hanger you took over Matt Dick in 2016.
To be honest, I'm thankful that mark happened because that probably pretty much got me drafted. So, and a funny story attached to that one as well is I actually grew up with Matt Dick. Who was at the time playing for Carlton. We played a lot of junior cricket together and a bit of junior footy, so I knew him quite well. So much to his disgust, when he turned around and saw it was me that sat on his head. I don't know. It's definitely one of my highlights so far, so I'm thankful it happened.
I genuinely think like that, you know, there was a little bit of talk around the mark when it happened, but that's probably genuinely one of, like, the best marks ever. Like, in terms of, like, I generally think it's got Gary Moorcroft's beat. Like, the way that you're both in the air, like, it's just incredible. Like, some of the photos from it and then watching that footage, I watched it about 15 times today and was just, like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one of those spare of the moment things that you just sort of see it run and jump at it, but it's probably exemplified from the fact that I had long, flowing blonde locks that were going everywhere and a diving bloke out the front that was in the air as well, so...
That made it even better, if you ask me, I thought. But what people don't touch on that, Mark, is how quickly I loved how much you just took off straight after. I just straight away. It was just, that was like, I think you end up kicking a point, which was not you yourself at the team, but soak it in.
I went back a little bit frazzled and I actually kicked it across the fat side out in the fall. So.
Oh, really? Oh.
That mark meant nothing at the end of the game.
We've got another sort of badge-related story here, and this is probably one of the better stories I've come across. That it came through from a new follower who we got off the back of you coming on the show. So first of all, thank you for that. We really need every single one we can get. So this bloke went to buy. His name's Ducky. Went to buy a Mitch Hannon badge at the MCG. So it comes back to the badges again, which are apparently back in vogue. And they didn't have any, so they went into the footy, watched the game, had a few beers, probably in the MCC, knowing many Melbourne fans and those sort of things. So you won the game, went back outside, couldn't find a Mitch Hannon badge anywhere, and then went to a pub in Richmond and was on the phone and searched up the Melbourne store and thought that he was searching for you, so put in 19 to search the collection of badges, and he actually bought 19 Mitch Hannon badges after he'd had a few beers. And so he wants to know if you'll sign all 19 of them.
That can be done. I didn't know anyone had that. That's actually a very classic story.
I can't believe that, like, the postie dropping off like exactly 19 badges.
Did he have that day?
I don't even know if I've had 19 picks in a game before.
Your best is 18. Your best disposal is 18. You've had it three times. We looked at that today too.
Very good.
There you go. Look, that's just about all we have time for with you today, Mitch. We just wanted to thank you so much for giving up some of your time. We know that life's sort of all over the place, changing states and all these different things. So we do really appreciate you making the time to have a little bit of a chat to us today. We'd obviously urge everyone to get behind the Mendel movement, doing some fantastic things, and absolutely super appreciative of you giving up your time and coming on the show today for us.
Not a problem, guys. It was a pleasure to come on. Thanks, Jakey. Thanks, Ben.
The Magoos.
Benny, as we like to do on the show, your favourite segment is the Game of the Week conference call. We usually like to get supporters of each club, and given that our winner stays on rule can't apply for today, we thought that we'd go straight to the source. GWS have got a huge grand final rematch against Richmond this Friday night, I think it is. And there's no bigger name in GWS football than the great man, Dylan Buckley, a friend of the show. Dylan, welcome back to the Magoos.
It's absolutely fantastic to be back. Very excited to be here. As you said, it's the second home of myself, and it's always a pleasure.
Beautiful, Dil. Now, obviously, we typically have a supporter from both teams. That Richmond supporter did come on a moment ago, saw you, and then pretty much shat himself, and then just completely logged
it
off.
Happens.
So, how do you mind playing devil's advocate and go why you think Richmond might be all right this weekend and GWS?
Nope. I'm not happy to do that.
All right, GWS or bust.
No, we could definitely. Now I'm out of the game. And you know, I'm an observer. I'm a fan of the AFL. I can definitely give my opinions. If they are they going to be good? Probably not. I really don't watch a lot of football these days. So, sorry about that.
Yeah. No. Well, I expected you. You are quite a busy man these days. If anyone has any sort of phone in their pocket, they'll see you're bloody everywhere.
Well, I don't. Well, the thing that annoys me with footy these days is, and I didn't realize this, but everything's on Foxtel. I don't have Foxtel anymore. Like, you know, I have free-to-air telly, and like, if you want to watch footy, I've got like, I get a KO subscription, but the internet's always not great. So it's sort of hard to like actually enjoy a game. You don't want to watch one on a laptop.
Yeah. Well, our old producer, Jack, I've got his login for KO that I've been pinching for a year and a half now. Do you want me to send that one to you after the show?
Yeah. That would be good. That would be fantastic.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So the Giants have sort of been a bit up and down to start the year, and your old mate Brett Deledio the other day said that they aren't quite gelling as a team and they look like a group of individuals at the moment. I guess my sort of question around that, be it right or wrong, is that how does it sort of go with players who are just sort of out of the game and would still have so many close mates at the footy club when they do sort of transition in the media and say those sort of things? Is it usually like a text that gets followed up and just like, oh boys, you know, I've just sort of said it just to announce myself, or is it cut ties, I'm just doing whatever I have to do to get that headline sort of thing?
Yeah, it's a funny one. Probably the first part of that question you asked is about, you know, the team not going as well. Now, when you rip out the heart and soul of the club, there is going to be little bits of fragments there that, you know, they do not recover from. So in terms of if you just said, you know, maybe things aren't going as well as you like, I think they're actually going really well. For the loss of myself, I think they're actually going really well. I expected them to maybe even fall shorter. But no, in all seriousness, it's a blimp on the radar for the boys. I think easily, you know, I'm not just saying this, but they're the most talented and best team in the comp when they get playing the way they want to play. it's just got to be at the right time of the year, and time is running out. But I think that they're going to flick it pretty soon. In terms of the Brett comments, like Brett's a close mate of mine and a close mate of all the boys. You know, they wouldn't care at all about what he said. And I think, like, I didn't hear what Brett said, but I really doubt he said it the way it actually came across. Like, you can always say things in the media and then it gets put on like a tile and quoted. But until you actually listen to the context of what he's actually said, and I haven't, so I can't comment on that too much, but I don't feel like he would have said that with any malice whatsoever.
So you're saying the media might have taken that out of context, you reckon?
Oh, I don't know if they've taken it out of context, but I think that, like, tone of voice and, yeah, it's hard, you know, like when you put something typed online and it's not having the context of what it was said in or how it was said, it might have been said in tongue in cheek. Like, people that haven't listened to that, they probably take it the wrong way. But it's definitely been something that I've had to learn, you know, coming out of footy, and people ask me opinions on things, and it's hard to not have an opinion without, you know, throwing people under the bus. But I think I've always erred to the side, no matter what, just to stick to the players, because when I was playing, I always thought, like, I don't want to be that guy that throws a voice under the bus for no reason.
Yeah. Do you actually find that hard? Obviously, you're doing your own podcast. Do you feel like you've got so many stories to tell? Like, and I've noticed as well, listening to your podcast as well, where you'll off the cuff think of this story, I can see your brain, or I can just feel it ticking over going, hang on, am I throwing someone under the bus if I tell this? Or... Do you go through that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 100%. Like, I think if you've listened to the show, like, my number one thing, like, if I put together, like, something to explain the show, it would be to, like, show the side of this person that I know that probably people haven't seen before, which is always such a good person. So, like, I'd never want to, not that there's bad things that I hold off on saying, but, like, I always want people to come out of that show thinking, geez, that guy's an absolute legend. And I wouldn't really tell a story about someone else. I wouldn't want to tell a story about another player if they weren't on the show, because I don't know if they're sort of happy with it. And I think people, you know, coming on when I talk about my podcast and just podcasts in general, like, you never want to stuff over your guests, because people think that it's the other way around, like you're going to stuff over them. But in reality, you don't want to stuff them over, because if you stuff one person over, then they're going to tell everyone. Everyone's going to see that you stuffed them over, and you'll never get anyone on again. So I think it'd be really silly to do that. Not that I ever would anyway.
Yeah. So, Jake, you should take that into consideration. Next time we get Cooter on, don't bag him, all right?
Stop messaging him after Carlton beat Essendon by 2 points for a match review after you've had a few years.
definitely don't do that.
So back to the Giants there, it's such an interesting case for mine, because, I mean, they've always had all the talent in the world, but something that obviously occurred in the off-season was the change in leadership. I think Phil Davis and Callum Ward were the co-captains of that club pretty much since its inception, and Simi Coniglio takes it over now, and there was a story floating around last week that he was, potentially being dropped. I think that Tom Morris might have even apologised and withdrawn that story, but knowing Stephen, how would he be sort of feeling right now? Is he the sort of bloke that would, let that pressure mount up on him? Obviously, they've gone from a co-captain system to a standalone captain, and his first 2 months in the job have probably been as tricky as anyone's have been in the game, given what 2020 sort of thrown at us.
Yeah, definitely. I think Cogs is one of the best operators I've seen in an AFL club. Like, he's one of the most professional guys. He works so hard. He's a real thinker of the game. He's got great leadership. Like, that, that changeover of leadership, that wasn't anything to do with, like, the contract. That was always going to happen. Phil and Wardy, mind you, are probably two of the best captains I've ever played under. But I just think that it was, a really good time to switch the guard, and I don't think Phil and Wardy weren't upset at that at all. They'll just, carry on and still do what they do. But sorry, in terms of Cogs, I think obviously, like, it's, you always, that cliche thing of a leadership is, like, you voted there for a reason, don't change anything. He wouldn't be changing anything that he's been doing. I think that now that he's captain, I think the light just goes on him a little bit more, and he's the sort of guy that he's so into his visualization and his motivation and stuff. And he's going to come out. And you remember as well, like, he nearly had a serious knee injury last year and didn't play. Like, I think people forget that he, like, missed probably 6 months of footy with that injury he had. So obviously there's a bit of time there out of the game and finding his feet again, but I don't think it would have fazed him at all. Like, there was absolutely no way he was going to get dropped out of that team. He's a genuine superstar. And especially as well, like, something, you know, like Johnny Patton, who he used to live with, has moved down to Hawthorn now as well. So I suppose a little bit of a support network there, but, you know, he's absolutely killing it, and he's going to be a super, super player this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Cogs definitely proved himself with the way he went about the contract talks last year and signing with the club. He's clearly just a loyal bloke who would just, you know, push this stuff to the side. We know you're pretty strapped for time. We appreciate you coming on, Dil. So Friday night, GWS, Richmond, we're back at Giants Stadium, which will be pretty good. What are your thoughts on an outcome there?
Yeah, it's always a big game up there at the Giants Stadium. I think like the last two times, I'm pretty sure that maybe even the last three times, I'm pretty sure the Giants have beat them at Giants Stadium. I remember that really big game. I wasn't at the club, but the one where they did the point kicking down the middle, Jeremy Cameron kicked that incredible goal. And I think maybe, like, don't quote me on that, but I think that's been, if they haven't won, it's been really close games always at Giants Stadium. Obviously with the crowd back there as well now, won't be too far off what the boys normally play in front of. So it'll be good for them to get there. I think the Giants will win. I can never really count them out.
Yeah, the last two games at Giants Stadium, GWS have won by 2 points and 49 points as well. So it's a happy hunting ground. It'd be a great time for the Giants boys to turn around their season and really kickstart it and get themselves back up into that top echelon where the mighty Blues are sitting around about the mark, Dil. It just brings a smile to your face, surely.
It does.
You're both on 3 and 4.
Actually, just hold there. Just hold there, sorry.
Nothing quite like the guest getting up and walking away, but I feel like he's going to have something planned. the life-size Carlton cut out of the great man himself.
That's me. If you want to ask any questions, and that's what I bring out. There you go.
So that's a good maybe, photo, isn't it?
Maybe next time GWS are playing Carlton, we'll get you on both sides.
yeah. No, well, it's a good point. It's a great photo, that one, and I wish my hair was still that thick. I tell you that.
Did you? Oh, I thought Dan bought that off you. Did you steal it back off him?
Yeah. So when I got the new studio here, and he bought it in as a bit of a gift to decorate the place, and I've got the bit of a gift. Signing the forehead there. There's a fair bit of room for the forehead to play with.
Fantastic. Beautiful. All right, Dil, we'll let you go, my friend. Thank you very much for joining us on the Magoos, and we can't wait to have you on again later on in the season as footy continues to roll on.
You know that, boys. You know I'm always here for you guys. Massive fan. What? How many times have I been on now? Is this the third or
seven or eight? Fourth?
At least four. I would have said.
Oh, yeah. While the iron's still
our most capped guest.
While it's still hot, Dylan, I know you're a big fan of listening to the show too. I've recently bought a caravan, which I'm decking out into a studio. So once
that's such a good idea. That's such
once
a good
this
idea.
Once this whole COVID thing's on, if you want to, you know, come down High Street and hit it up, and we could that you'd be yeah, might be the first or well, actually second guest because Jake's getting on the great man John Cena apparently.
Yeah, that's in the works.
But, that's such a good idea to do the caravan. As a studio, because can you take it around?
Might need a roadworthy, but
yeah,
sure. You good can. Though. It's got a couple
in theory,
of wheels on it.
In theory, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, podcast on wheels.
You might have given me a couple of ideas there.
There you go, mate.
Well done. Boys, as I said, always a pleasure. Love the Magoos. Spent plenty of time there on the show and in real life in the Magoos. So yeah, I love it.
Love it, Dil. Thanks heaps, mate.
Enjoy, boys, and go Giants.
The Magoos.
Benny, we've come to an end of an absolute star-studded show. Again, big thanks to Mitch Hannon and Dylan Buckley for both making themselves available. Some really cool conversations in there. As we said earlier with Mitch, we definitely encourage everyone to go and check out the cool work that Mendel's doing, supporting a whole range of different non-for-profits and fashionable gear, as the shirts are here now. I know you'll jump on there and get something cool from there, Benny Boy. Something that's missing from this week's episode of the Magoos, though, is your little brainchild, Sam 60. Do you have a pre-written statement for that?
Nothing pre-written. In fact, you've put me on the spot here, Jake. But I believe our audience deserve the truth, because we don't treat our loyal followers with disrespect. We don't treat them as idiots. So Sam 60 was given a miss this week. Quite truthfully, we recorded one earlier, which was so bad that it honestly it can't see the light of day. Now, I can't stress enough how bad it was. I know last week was a 6.5 minute Sam 60, and we thought we'd try and bring reel that back, but it just hasn't taken place, and it was a complete disaster. And that's coming from someone who enjoys watching a disaster. I just couldn't find anything good in it.
You believe in the segment too. Yeah, you believe in it.
I do believe in it. I'm a known skeptic. And you did say we'll just touch on Sam 60 and what, and we'll tell them that it'll be back next week. But quite truthfully, guys, it may not be back ever. I was so disgusted in it.
Who's out of form more? Sam or Ben Brown?
No comment.
No comment. Yeah, that doesn't sound good for Sammy.
Well, we might put him up for trade as well.
We won't get a first round pick, though, I'll tell you that much. A couple of quick little updates for those who are following along. John Cena still hasn't read, so which means still hasn't replied to the DM. I am starting to get some doubts about that. I might have to send a follow-up one. Hey, mate, as per my last message, please come on the show. And any caravan updates from you?
Caravan updates, whilst it is hard being in lockdown and, getting things done, that sort of thing. I bought a table, though, Jake, last week. Yesterday, so Monday night, I bought just a table off Facebook Marketplace, which is a absolute gold mine, if you ask me, for some furniture and that sort of thing. It was one of those old fashioned sort of oval shape, which is good for footy as well, obviously.
Bring the magnets.
moving them around. You know those old ones that they're just a regular oval one, but then you pull out the ends and you can extend the table. Do you know those old
extended table?
I am
similar with the concept.
I had one growing up.
Familiar.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful old table. And that's really it. Yeah, bought a table. So there you go. Haven't done anything with it.
There you go. Well, thanks. Thanks everybody for tuning in yet again to another episode of the Magoo. Star studded. We can promise you every week won't be like that. We don't know that many people. So make sure you share us around. Give us a like, subscribe, all those fun things, and follow us on the socials. And we'll see you next week. Enjoy the footy.
Bye.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.